1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Hold on, we'll go back to that a second. So again, it is reported commonly that, meaning altogether, meaning is it has been heard. Meaning, I've heard the full story, I believe, what he's saying. You know, I've heard that altogether there's fornication. Notice that there is added. He's just kind of like being very blunt, actually. Fornication among you. And that this fornication, you know, fornication, that's a word used in the Bible, but it means sexual immorality. Specifically, you know, well, there's adultery, right? That's when sleeping with another man's wife or sleeping with another woman's husband or, you know, outside of marriage. And this is sex outside of marriage where there's no marriage involved at all, like sex with a prostitute. You know, the Greek word is pornea, from where we get porn. And, you know, and obviously in the spirit, according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, pornography is also fornication, as is masturbation. Because again, this is immoral sexual behavior. But, here, there's something going on here that is, even among the Gentiles, it is not named, he's saying. You know, actually, named is not from, you know, but it could be named or found. But the idea is that, you know, obviously it's kind of a figure of speech. Obviously those things happen, right? You know, you go to the Jerry Springer show or whatever they watch these days, you know, daytime TV. And he was with my father, you know, again, not necessarily his own mother, but his one of his father's wife. In fact, that's what Jacob accused Reuben of in Genesis chapter 50, I believe. Jacob, as he's blessing his children, he mentions Reuben because he went up to his father's bed. Obviously, fornication also does cover adultery. You know, it's all manner. Fornication is kind of a catch-all. But it means sexually immoral behavior. And obviously, well, according to what moral standard? Well, according to the standards of the Bible, which according to Jesus goes right down to the lust of the eyes. That's where fornication begins. So he's saying this is, even among the Gentiles, what he's really saying here in verse 1 is that even among the Gentiles, this is really taboo. You know? Even the Gentiles don't name this among the things they do. You know, it's not just, it's not just because he's a Jew that he finds this offensive. Even the Gentiles find that, you know, like I said, even those who do not believe in Christ find that offensive. That's offensive. And he's saying, in the midst of this, you're puffed up. How are they puffed up? Well, they were beginning to denominate themselves and, you know, and becoming inflated with themselves. You know, he had mentioned how they, you know, they had this, they were having, Paul had reports. You know, he doesn't directly give all the reports, but you kind of get this idea. He knows they're puffed up. They, you know, that's why I say, you know, in the churches of America, you know, they exalt themselves against those who do believe not God and who obey not the gospel. But are they not puffed up? And they ought rather mourn for all the sin that goes on among them? This is, you know, there are grievous sins for which Paul recommends ejection from the church. You know? And, he says, you should rather have mourned. What he's saying is, you know, if they hadn't been so exalted in their mind, I think he's saying that, you know, if they had mourned, they might have taken action instead of just sort of riding high and realize and seeing, you know, when things go on in the midst of the body, it affects everyone. That's what he meant by a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The things that people do in church affect the whole church. People, what the people do among us. That's why, you know, we have to be of the same mind, of the same doctrine, of the same spirit. He's saying, you know, even though I'm not there personally, in my spirit I'm present. That's why I always got irritated at that Saddleback guy, the guy who wrote the purpose-driven life stuff. Because he mocked the idea of being present in the spirit. He's like, doesn't mean anything. I'll be with you in spirit. It does mean something. Well, I mean, it depends on the person who's saying it, obviously. But Paul, he says it right here. I'm present in spirit. So it does have some sort of meaning. What it means is that, you know, that he's there. You know, what is the spirit? It is the life of the man. But it's more than life. I mean, there's the spirit which God has put in us gives us life. There's spirit of life, right? But there's more to the spirit than just, you know, you can be in good spirits or your spirits can be down. You know, I mean, you can be in spirit, you can be with someone. It's when your thoughts are towards them. But, it, I really think in many ways, you know, those who are spiritual understand, you know, those who aren't,